Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 11, please? John chapter 11. In case you were not here, we just studied the portion of the Jesus resuscitating Lazarus. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He was in the grave. His body was decaying. And when he walked out, I'm sure he could smell his own decaying body smell. But in front of many people, Jesus raised him from the grave. That's where we start. Let's pretend we are all here for the funeral of our beloved brother Charlie. And some of you who just woke up will say, who is Charlie? Who's dead? Like I said, let's pretend we are here for the funeral service. It's an open casket service. While everyone in the chapel in prayer, of course, I'm leading the prayer, and I said to the Lord, Lord, we wish that the Charlie is back with us because we miss him. And all in that quiet moment, some of you guys are keeping your eyes open so you could see Charlie's hand, his casket is right here, his arms raising above his head and stretching it, and he's yawning out loud. What would happen here? I know what some of you guys thinking, pulling out your iPhone and the Android, starting to recording and uploading it to YouTube. I don't know how you guys do that. I haven't figured it out yet. My 6-year-old grandson will probably teach me how to do that. And starting to upload that. So, when that happens, your eyes will be big and your jaws are dropping on the ground. Right? Won't that happen? If this is real? And the guys who are supposed to be dead for 4 days, he embalmed him. In other words, he doesn't have anything inside other than a chemical. And he's getting up and talking, and doctor who wrote the death certificate, he said, forget that, crumble and toast it. Okay, that evening, if that's true, 6 o'clock news, every TV station across the United States, even around the world, will report that incident. They will show that YouTube, you know how they use just looping over and over and over and same thing? And I'm sure this place will be packed with reporters, and they will grab any one of you who were here to have an interview. Of course, they will have an interview with Charlie and his wife. And they will run down to the Green Valley Mortuary and to interview the funeral director who embalmed him personally. Was he really dead? Really, really dead? Now, that will divide people into 4 groups. Stay with me on that. 4 groups. First group of people, nobody can deny this, deny the fact that the person was dead and now he's alive. The first group is group number 1. It's a good group. Some unbelievers will come to know Jesus as the Savior and Lord. Group number 2 is the bad group, I call. The group of people who hate Jesus will conduct something and concoct something to protect their interests at all costs. Those who said there is no God, there is no life after death. Guess what? And the guy who was dead and come alive and said, oh yeah, I met Jesus. And he's in heaven. Quite convincing, isn't it? I'm sure there's some publisher will come along and say, would you like to write a book? We'll publish it. We'll make money on you. Third group. This is a problem. The don't care group. The vast majority of people will just watch as if it's some sort of the circus and do nothing about their spiritual life. Do you get that? Fourth group. If you are born again believers, all of a sudden now your faith increased and magnified multiple times. you born-again Christian will have more faith in Jesus Christ. Let's see how my fancy story goes with the true event happened about almost 2,000 years ago. We'll stop here and pray. Father, many people consider the Bible is a tale, a compilation of tale. And they don't believe what it says. But we do. We do believe that every word in this Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Father, we are asking you to open our heart that we may not fall into the people who will deny the truth of Jesus Christ, or those who don't care about the truth, but let us be the one who ground our faith in Jesus Christ and His Word. We don't want to hear man's word. We want to hear from you alone. Father, anoint our heart to hear you and anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we pray for President Trump, and there's a lot of attack against him. Let him come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that he may do what is right in your sight for your glory alone. Father, we also pray for our soldiers, especially the one in harm's way. 3 Army Rangers have been killed and 1 have badly injured. Father, you speak to and minister to those families and comfort them. We also pray for the law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community and around this country. We are asking your will be done. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 11 of the book of John, verse 45, please. John 11:45. Now we see the good group, number 1. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did. What did he do? He just raised a dead person, come back to alive, and believed in him. Did you get that? Those 2 words. Believed in him. 3 words. Sorry. I don't know how to count. Now the resuscitation of Lazarus was the 7th and final miracle that recorded in the book of John. This miracle is that what I call the miracle of reprimand. Because it was done specially in the face of rejection of Israel, with the purpose of causing them to see, though they rejected Jesus, he is still who claimed to be, and he has that power, that kind of power to do what he claimed to be. Am I making sense? It doesn't matter. You know, so why am I going this? If you are an atheist, if you are an agnostic person, if you are so-so believers, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what your co-workers say or what your family say. Jesus is who he is. He is God in control. He never lost control. He will never lose control. He's holding your life. He is, matter of fact, he's holding your very life, the breathing life. All of that is in his hand. As I mentioned in my opening illustration, God's miracle often divided people according to their deepest mindset. In other words, their true heart toward God surfaced to the top. You may pretend to be a born-again Christian, but when the miracle happens, your reaction, true reaction from your heart, will show you who you are. I believe that these people had a genuine salvation with the belief in Jesus Christ. What do I mean when I say the belief in Jesus Christ? Hear me well, please. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, He is God in human flesh, and He came to the world and died on the cross as our atoning sacrifice, and He rose again from the dead on the third day. He ascended to the Father in heaven, and He can come into your life and forgive your sins and cleanse your life. That is believing Christ. Just naming, believing the name of Jesus Christ doesn't count. Just believing that He exists doesn't count. If that's the case, the devil would be a believer. Does he go to heaven? He doesn't. The only way you can go to heaven is unless you have to be born again. Bible says, make it clear, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the second group, the bad group, verse 46. Then some of them went away to the Pharisee and told them the things Jesus did. They are the snitches. Sorry, I've been hanging around with the cops too long. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And Romans will come and take away both, what's the two word? Our place. Okay? Has a different meaning depending on which commentator. But they all come down to the one. Our place in nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being a high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, verse 15, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that whole nation should perish. Now, this he did, not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus will die for the nation. Verse 52, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Stop there, please. Nobody around Bethany and the surrounding area ever denied the miracle that Jesus performed, raising dead man from the grave after 4 days. Not even the one who hated him would deny that. In spite of the fact and the truth, they pretty much would insist, if you would interview them, they would say, don't confuse us with the fact and truth. And they will deny everything. Because why? Why would they deny him? Because he does things reveal their true. Do you have a coworker? Do you have a family member who hates your guts, even though you're trying to be nice to them? Mere presence of you in front of them bothers them. I had one of my coworkers who used to work with me. And he hated me being around. So he was a Mr. Grumpy. And he used to blurt out the things that under his breath that I would not repeat. Why? Did I say anything? Did I try to evangelize to the guy? No. Mere presence of me being there reading my own Bible in the break room bothered him. That's a common. These haters came with unbelief and went away with unbelief. Same thing for your co-workers or family members. The Bible teaches us that anyone who wants to know the will of God, God would reveal His truth to those who are open to Him. Can you say that with me? Open to Him. But if your mind is closed, you are refusing any chance to know the truth. It is the same as you say, I hate God, I hate Jesus, I hate Him worse than I ever hated Him because He reveals my life. It was right and necessary for a Jewish council that is known as Sanhedrin to look into any new religion and make sure that they are correct, they are following the Jewish law. But instead of seeking after the truth as they were supposed to, they'd rather seek a reason to murder Jesus. To protect their own selfish interest, and as I mentioned in verse 48. Go back to the verse 48, please. If we let him alone like this, and everyone will believe in him, then Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Roman government, Roman emperor will say, this guy is gathering together to follow this man. That means it's going to be insurrection. Let's take out the entire country. That's their mindset. Well, makes sense. Since they are the one who is occupying the Palestine area. But what they have in mind, that this high priest, the Pharisee have in mind, they were the social elite. Are you with me on that? They are the one, the elite group people. In the echelon, they are the top eater. And they are the one who is enjoying the comfort and luxury and finance. If they take away the temple, high priest has no job. Pharisees have no job. So their immediate livelihood is involved. So more than their nation, it is their immediate interest. That's why they want to take Jesus out. Jesus has been the stone in their eyes. He called them what they were, whitewashed tomb. Jesus said that. And outside painted white, and inside of deposits full of dead man's bone. And he constantly irritated them with the truth, and for almost 3 years. He even threw the merchant out of the temple. Not once, twice. And some of you don't know the situation. You may ask, what do you mean, throw the merchant out of temple? They have these money changers. Temple would not accept Roman currency. So you have to bring your Roman currency. That's what they've been, common people were using. They have to bring the Roman currency, exchange it with the temple shekel. But instead of changing at the even rate, they charge exorbitant rate. So if it was, let's say, 10 Roman shekel, 10 Roman coin is equivalent to 10 Roman shekel, temple shekel. Now I'm all confused, making you guys confused. But instead of giving them 10 temple shekel, they're giving them 5. Now they're keeping the profit. They are getting rich at the cost of poor Jewish pilgrims who come to the Jewish temple. Folks, and you may say, well, that doesn't happen nowadays. Still happens. When you pray in public, if you use the name of God, nobody cares. Even the liberals don't care. You can say in front of the liberals, God bless America. Okay? They'll live with that. But if you pray in the name of Jesus, that's a different story. Do you know U.S. Navy still that left over from Obama administration? They still have a problem if the chaplain, I didn't say anybody, chaplain, their designated Navy chaplain pray in the name of Jesus, he get reprimanded. Time to time, I get invited to the promotional ceremony or the change of command ceremony to the Davis-Monthan Air Base because I was an honorary commander. Yeah. It's a fancy name for the kind of hang around bothering people. So they asked me to do the invocation or benediction. I don't show them my prayer, and I close them with the name of Jesus. My thought is, you don't like the way I pray? Don't invite me again. But those chaplains, usually captain or major, their livelihood is involved. Some of them close, they make a good prayer, and they pray as they say it in your name we pray. Sometimes I say, in Jesus' name, our holy, mighty God. I have an attitude problem. Yes, I admit that. You know, this country was founded by our forefathers who are majority of them are Christians. And with a Christian value. Do you know this? I don't know if you heard the latest incident with Senator Bernie Sanders from the Vermont. What do you expect from the Sanders? He was against the Russell vote. is the President Trump's nominee to be Deputy Director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. He was going after this Mr. Vought. Because he's a born-again Christian, he confessed that his salvation comes through Jesus alone. So Senator Sanders said he shouldn't be in the public office. And he said it's unconstitutional. So I thought, wow, you just violated two of them. First Amendment and the freedom of religion. This is the country we are living in. Caiaphas, high priest, really is the crummiest guy you can find. And he is egoistical and cunning and rude opportunist and manipulator and a godless phony priest who was getting what he wanted by hook or by crook. And the Annas, who was the previous year high priest, he was a father-in-law. So keeping in the family business. It's a regular Jewish mafia. This phony priest, Caiaphas, declared that Jesus had to die for the nation as if he was some sort of patriot. He pretty much said that it was a crisis and they had to take care of the situation right away by killing Jesus, executing Jesus. Otherwise, the whole country will be destroyed. Out of that vile, degenerate mouth of Caiaphas came the truth of God in verse 15 through 52. How could this ungodly Caiaphas would know what God, Lord Jesus would do for the nation Israel as well as the whole world? He didn't. In ironic fact, this rejection of Jesus resulted in the political ruin and ultimate destruction of the nation in Israel in AD 70. Keep your finger in John. Go to Psalm chapter 2, please. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do nation rage? The people plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers make a council together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath, distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Where would that be? Where would that be? Exactly. No matter what kinds of horrible and ungodly situation this country and the world are heading to, our God is still in firm control. He never lost it, nor will he ever. No matter how much Islam, ISIS terrorists come against the Christian missionaries, and no matter how much that the little fat boy from North Korea throwing temper tantrum around, and no matter how the raunchy the media and the entertainment industry have become, and no matter how low the decency in the United States have become, our God is in firm control. Can I hear amen? Does it mean we do nothing? Let God handle it so we can twiddle our thumb, do nothing. No, that's not how God works. Yes, we rely on Him for everything, but we do our part faithfully as He leads us, from praying for one another to serving and supporting one another. Go down to verse 54. Now we see not third group, the don't care group. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. And there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, what do you think? That he will not come he will not come to the feast. Verse 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples up to Ephraim, which is about 15 miles from Jerusalem, north side of Jerusalem, and there he remained until Passover. This was not because he was afraid of Sanhedrin. Do you know why he didn't stay in Jerusalem? Because it was not the time. Remember when we study many times Jesus, Bible says it was not the time. Jesus always walked on the God the Father's timetable. The multitude was gathering in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they were wondering he would attend the feast, even though he became the top of the Israel's most wanted by the Sanhedrin. They didn't care how he get captured, whether he's died or dead or alive. They just want him to be captured. As I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching, the vast majority of people around the world will just watch Jesus and Christianity as if it's some sort of a passing entertainment. They will, when their situation is bad, like a 9/11 happened, when the bad situation happened, they will come to church for some sort of a comfort. Soon as that is slowing down, church will be empty again. When the 9/11 happened, guess what? The people went to church. It was a packed wall to wall. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, guess what? They are not coming to church. Business as usual. As I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching, the people don't care. To this multitude today, in this seeker-sensitive church around the world, they just watch Jesus. And no commitment to follow, no genuine faith to exercise, no salvation to hold on to, no deep love for God, and no desire to serve, just watch. Listen to me please, they have the flavor of a religion for their own style, but no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know what Jesus said about them. Do you know what Jesus said about them? Go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew 12, verse 30. Matthew 12, 30. He who is not with me is what? But he who does not gather with me scatters. Either you are for Christ or you are naturally, by default, you are against Christ. If you are not born again Christian, here's a wake up call. Everybody, look at me. I know it's not precept, but look at me anyway. If you are not born again Christian, let me make it very clear to you. It's not a popular comment. If you are not born again Christian, you will go to hell. There's no second chance. You hear me? There's no purgatory you can come back, make a way back through the back door. No, it doesn't happen that way. If you don't make that decision until your last breath, and you may say, well, I'll do it later. How do you know you're going to live until later? Okay. These people, majority of people who didn't care about Jesus Christ, and the other one, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when Jesus came, we will see that. But they are the same group of people who cried out to Pilate, the Roman governor, crucify him. Like I said, because they didn't make a commitment to Jesus, it's easy for them to turn their back on him. Fourth group, the good one, group number two. These are the believers. There's no mention of Martha, Mary, Jesus' disciples, but I'm sure that their faith had increased many times with the exception of who? Judas. Chapter 11, listen please. Chapter 11 reveals the stark contrast between the deity of Jesus Christ and the utter depravity of the human heart like no other chapter in the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16, verse 30. Jesus was talking about the parable, the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. And when they both died, Lazarus in the good side, in the heart of the earth. Well, in the meanwhile, the rich man is being tormented in the place. And rich man said to Abraham, and the rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." Guess what? Listen. Guess what? Lazarus came back to life. The Lazarus came back to life from the dead. The Jewish religious rulers wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus as well. Miracles certainly reveal the power of God, but of themselves, they cannot communicate the grace of God. Are you with me on that? A lot of people, Christian and non-Christian alike, they chase after miracles. It's wonderful to have miracles, but miracle itself does not talk about the grace of God, does not talk about the salvation of God. It just reveals the power of God. Are you with me on that? The stage has been set for the greatest display of grace of God, during which the man would do their worst and God will do His best. Three applications. Number one, today, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, affirm your commitment to Him by living for Him. Second application, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, make it happen today. Devil will tell you, "Oh, do it tomorrow." Don't listen to him. Third application, if you're standing outside of Christianity as a spectator, if you're in that group, don't care group, listen up. Remember this. God wants you to be in or out. Have you ever heard that story and that comment from your mom or dad while you're holding the refrigerator door and looking inside? You cannot make up your mind, so you're just holding that refrigerator door. And what did your mom or dad say? Either in or what? Out. God is speaking to you now. If you are don't care group, you make up your mind, either in or out. Because there's nothing between. Either you want for God or you are what? Against God. Amen?